Right now we have Chapel Hill Mayor Pam Heminger here in the studio at the end of another very, very, very long week.
Yeah,
how are you?
I'm good.
Have you had a short week since taking over as mayor? I keep saying that every time.
It was a little slower in the summer.
Right.
We weren't having the meetings, but yeah. I love learning. I love finding out about things going on in town, and it's just amazing to connect all the dots and figure out we are a very history-rich community, mm-hmm. and we have so many wonderful things going on that we lose sight of that when things are really troubling, like at the state legislature. It's really good to be able to reach back and say, "Hey, we're Chapel Hill, and you know, we can do better, and we can be the place that inspires better."
So we're looking at a lot going on this week. I just mentioned the light rail vote is tonight for the Orange County Commissioners, which everyone is watching. This is also crossover week at the General Assembly, which is the kind of artificial deadline that legislators try to to get bills through one house or the other. If you pass the deadline and a bill hasn't passed, then it just gets shelved for the next year. This is a way to get legislators home quickly, I guess. But also, it means that right before the crossover deadline, and this happens every cycle, you get this flood frenzy of bills that all get passed very quickly without a whole lot of debate, and you're dealing with dozens of them. It's hard to keep track of them. Also, Mayor Heminger, what are the ones that you're keeping track of? What are the ones that really affect our community?
Well, we were looking at the impact fees, and it was stated incorrectly in the paper, but it was a direct quote from Representative Stevens that Chapel Hill had overstepped its authority by putting huge school impact fees. Well, it was Orange County, and that bill's in there, and it's going to go for the crossover. Mm-hmm. But the other, we're looking at all the impact fees. That's one of the bills we're keeping our eye on. The sanctuary city situations we're keeping our eyes on. Mm-hmm. I did find it interesting. I get to read stuff that's going on with national mayor organizations as well. And I believe that San Francisco is filing a lawsuit against the Trump administration for saying they're going to withhold federal funding to cities that don't comply with their definition of sanctuary city, who are trying to be. And San Francisco's filed a lawsuit saying you can't withhold funds that have nothing to do with that topic.
Right.
I would love for that lawsuit to set a precedent so that our own legislature is threatening to withhold sales tax monies, liquor monies, all those kinds of different monies that have nothing to do with sanctuary.
And we kind of saw this on the federal level last year during the Obama administration with school districts and cities and states that didn't comply with Loretta Lynch, the Justice Department's interpretation of the Title IX of the Education Amendments. But that was specifically, we're going to withhold funds from cities and states that don't comply with that. But that was just educational funding.
Right.
And even that was controversial. This executive order goes way, way beyond that.
Yes, it does. So we're keeping our eye on that one. There's a sales tax redistribution bill that's out there again. Mm-hmm. It's interesting why Orange County is not adversely affected too much. We're not really sure, but our partners in Durham and Raleigh are, so we're trying to take a look at Wake County. We're trying to see what that really pans out. We do are fortunate that we're part of that Metro Mayors Collective, so we have lobbyists who keep us updated and informed and send us actually direct quotes from leadership. While there is a lot of discouraging things going on, our hope is that some of this will settle down and not make it to the next phase.
Right.
We did hear from Republican leadership when we met with them that they were not interested in another fight, that they were kind of hoping to wrap up with the budget and go home at a decent time. They want to be out before the 4th of July.
Right.
So we'll see. I mean, I was very actually pleased to hear that we had our wonderful group of advocates, Moms Demand Action, went down to the state legislature, camped out all day. The hearing kept getting moved about the gun laws, proposed changes on carry on campus and all this kind of, and it kept getting moved, and it did not make it out of committee. They're not really ready to celebrate just yet because, as you know, there's some game playing at the end here. But they are very hopeful that since it didn't make it out of committee, that it won't go forward.
Okay, so those are the bills
are the
that you're...
There's a lot of small...
There's a lot of little ones,
I'll
go back to sales tax redistribution for a second because we've talked about this for the last couple of years. It's always been kind of raised as a possibility, and then it gets tabled. I've never, and I know I'm in the minority on this, but I've never understood the adversity to that. I know it disproportionately, like I know it negatively affects the bigger cities, the cities with the commercial development and the retail that generate the sales taxes. But this is a way to get more funds to the poorer counties that need it, which are, I mean, this is a socialistic redistribution scheme that Republicans support, and I've always been kind of surprised that more Democrats haven't been on board with this.
I think they're not on board with it. We talked about this at Metro Mayors, is because the cities do provide the jobs. A lot of people who live in the rural communities come into the cities for jobs and shop. But there's also just throwing money at something doesn't solve the problem. What we've been suggesting is that some funds ought to be set aside to actually spearhead, target particular communities to work together. Some of our smaller, poorer counties don't have even the resources for economic development to work on making a better outcome for all of that. So our suggestion was that there are resources at the state level that could be deployed in some of these areas to help them figure out how to use some of these monies to help benefit. But just throwing money at something doesn't solve a problem. You really have to have a plan. And so the point is, why would you throw money, take monies from communities who have plans going on until you have a plan on how to make that work?
Speaking with Chapel Hill Mayor Pam Hemingway, is the crossover deadline, is that Friday or is
it
today?
I thought it was tonight.
It is tonight.
I thought midnight.
Okay. I thought it was Thursday, but it kind of makes more sense for it to be Friday.
It's always a Thursday because they try not to meet on the Friday.
Oh, right.
But we'll see. You know, the rules are ever shifting with this group, so we won't really know until we know.
This is one of the things, too, that and the state Democratic Party issued a statement, I think, earlier today or yesterday, to the effect of, look at all of these bills that have nothing to do with anything except for Republicans in Raleigh trying to change the rules of government and elections and politicking to benefit them. So you've got the policy, or you've got the law that just got passed over Governor Cooper's veto, taking the state Court of Appeals and reducing it from 15 down to 12. Nobody who works with the state Court of Appeals thinks that's a good idea or has even suggested that it might be a good idea, but they're doing it anyway to reduce Governor Cooper's power and the bill that would change the makeup of the State Board of Elections. And what's this list? Limiting extending voting hours if there's an emergency on Election Day, prohibiting boards of elections from extending voting hours beyond the cutoff time, and so on and so on and so on. It's got nothing to do with making the state a better place. It's all about changing election and governing rules to make sure that we stay in power.
It's about that, and it's about holding on to a belief system and a power system that worked for them back in the day and not working towards how do we make this a better state and embrace all this fabulous. We have a lot of people. We're the ninth most populous state in the nation, and we're continuing to grow. We ought to be working towards how to make all that work and how to become better. You know, our education system doesn't rank very well compared to the nation. We ought to be figuring out how to make a more, I won't say industrious, but a better outcome in North Carolina. Our health statistics are bad. We're the fifth in the nation for road fatalities. And from a bicyclist, I think we're second in the nation for fatality rates.
Yep.
I mean, these are the kinds of things we need. We badly need infrastructure improvements. These are things we should be working towards. If we know we're growing, you
first
plan for
foremost.
That. You don't try to hold on to something that happened in the 50s.
Yep.
It's really frustrating, you know.
I just want to say, if and when the Democrats take the General Assembly back, I want conservatives out there to hold us to the same thing, because we, when that happens, should not be focusing on
we
governing.
We need balance. We need balance in everything we do. It shouldn't swing one way or the other. That's never effective. You need the balance and working together. Balance always. Democrat, Republican, old, young, male, female, minorities, everybody. You need some balance in there.
So okay, let's get to local government.
You've
got like, there's a long list of things
we've
been talking about state the whole time.
I do. Great things out. So first of all, this Saturday is the Northside Festival Celebration.
Yes.
We're going to be dedicating the gateway entrance to Northside, and there's one of it's to the Freedom Fighters. There's granite slabs with all kinds of photographs from Jim Wallace. And we talked about today that it's not just to remember what happened in Chapel Hill with civil rights movements, but to inspire people to think about what happened and how do you translate it into inspire today. Mm-hmm. Because we've got some of the same scenarios going on with different groups of populations in our community, statewide. Not in our community, but statewide.
But I think it's really good. Like any social movement, you look back at the history, or you look at a social movement that's active today, and every single day is a day that you don't progress all that much, and it can be very, very frustrating. But you look back at the history of the civil rights movement, look at what they're able to accomplish, even when every individual day you don't gain very much. You gain a little bit. Yeah. You go back, you move forward, and just fundamentally, radically transforming Chapel Hill and North Carolina and the South and the U.S. in the space of a couple of decades. And it might take a couple of decades, but look what they're able to accomplish. That's an inspiration.
It is an inspiration. Yeah. Well put. I want to give a big shout out to John Cochran of Woodman Life Insurance. John and his kids spent the summer volunteering for Food for the Summer, and John took that to the match with his company. Woodwinds. And they, this weekend, we met over at table, and they brought 400 string bags filled with snacks for kids and a financial donation for our Food for the Summer program, which we're going to get started up pretty soon. We're in the midst of hiring a director. The website will go up in May. Been out there trying to get all the pieces and put together for more enrichment for this program this summer. But it's, again, going to be a really long summer. Met with the new superintendent, Pam Baldwin, to talk about this, too, because she inspired a program in Asheville that gave free breakfast for everyone in the school system. So she's well acquainted with that direct correlation between feeding kids and having kids know that the community cares about their successful outcome and learning and breaking that cycle. So we're very, very excited about him and just want to say thank you for helping us out with that. From here, I'm heading over to the Habitat dedication. Another house in Northside is being dedicated today. We're making real progress in bringing some balance back to that community as well, moving for families in again. So it had swung a lot towards student rentals and investment properties back towards families living there and being part of the community. So we're excited about that. Last week, I was at that chamber event called the Bocce Derby. A lot of fun.
Bocce Derby, yes.
It was a beautiful day out there. I'm not very good at bocce, but it was really good.
Other people competing, because that's a significant...
I didn't know I'd be playing, so I wasn't prepared. I like to prepare for my sports, so anyway. But it was a lot of fun anyway. And then we had the Chamber of Commerce also held an event this week called Eggs with Elected Officials. There's like speed dating with the elected officials.
Yes.
There were tables of people there, and the elected officials moved from table to table to talk and hear what was on people's minds and to talk about plans and future of our community.
We're all here at WCHL, by the way, making fun of Blake Hodge, our news director, because there was this really, really good picture taken of the entire like room full of people at that event, and everyone was smiling with the one exception of Blake. It just happened to catch him in this like grimace. It was hilarious.
Yeah.
But it looked like a really cool event.
It was a cool event, and it was interesting to hear what was on people's minds and conceptions of just perceptions of things that we're doing and not doing and where that was going to lead us. So I find that fascinating. And then we had our first task force meeting on the American Legion. A lot of positive energy there. Mm-hmm. Again, 165 acres worth of ideas to fit onto a 36-acre
bio. Yeah.
No, but that was really helpful, and it was a good working group. We're going to set guiding principles next time to talk about those kinds of things and some opportunities there as well. So that was going on. We talked at the council meeting a long time about the rail project, making sure we're advocating for those bus hours to connect people to the rail and that we have a seat at the table and those kinds of, because we run the biggest transit system through the transit partners, but it's through Chapel Hill Transit, trying to make sure that it all works out. So I know the commissioners are voting tonight, and then tomorrow the MPO votes. And then after that, the Go Triangle Board will vote. So, and the Durham County Commissioners pass it unanimously.
On Monday, right?
Yes. Yep. And really, thanks to the great work and all the good questions that have been asked, our Orange County Commissioners renegotiated the split, which I believe is just much more fair and possible and viable for Orange County and our community, because it's a small portion in us. And I understand that, but our abilities for economic development and sales tax generation potential are just a smaller scale. It's not that it's a smaller percentage growth, it's a smaller scale to start with than Durham.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm excited about the difference in the split, so I think that was really good. Everything else going on, we talked about the bills and all that going on. We don't have a meeting on Monday, but we'll be back with a work session. We start down our budget process, so be looking for Chapel Hill budget work session, and then in the regular meetings.
And the beat goes on.
Yeah, it does. It does.
Right. You're making the summer more difficult on yourself by doing this huge Food for the Summer program.
Yeah. No.
It's worth it.
And I did an interview for Porch yesterday and just talking about bringing community together,
mm-hmm.
connecting people with each other in the community that don't know they're here, but just in doing that, showing that you care, that we're a community that cares about our community and about the world in general. I mean, we think bigger than just our one little corner.
Yeah.
We do.
Absolutely.
Chapel
Hall Mayor Pam Emminger, thank you so much.
Thank you.